Let's begin our discussion. If you have Mishnah Berurah Chelek Vav, that's great. If not, Torah Shabbat Peh is also great. Let us get into Hilchos Yom Kippur. Last Monday we did Hilchos Rosh Hashanah. Let's get into our discussion of Hilchos Yom Kippur. And we really start, we ended with Rosh Hashanah. So let's talk for a moment about between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. That, of course, is Aseres Yimei Tshuva. The Shulchan Aruch, first there's a Ramah. We know we fast on Tzom Gedalia. Next Monday, the day after Rosh Hashanah, is a Tainus having to do with the Chorban, but it's not coincidental that Tainus is always in Tafresh Beis. Not coincidental that Tainus is always during Aseres Yimei Tshuva, not for now, but interesting to think about what Dafka Tzom Gedalia has to do with the Tshuva process specifically. But we're Marbe B'Tfila. During Aseres Yimei Tshuva, we're Marbe B'Slicha. Slichas are longer. We add on tefila, we add on Avinu Malkeinu, and Vidui, and a couple of other things as well. There were different minhagim about Kiddush Levana. The Ramah quotes to wait to do Kiddush Levana until Motzoi Yom Kippur. I think that's what most shuls do, and most yeshivas do, what the Ramah says in Tafresh Beis. The Vilna Gaon is always the believer of Zerizah Makdima LeMitzvahs, and always do it as soon as you can, and get more Zchulyos. But the minhag of most shuls is to wait till after and Motzoi Yom Kippur. That's when Kiddush Levana is done. There's very little quoted in terms of halachos of Aseres Yimei Tshuva. We discussed it last time about the Hosafos, HaMelech HaKadosh, HaMelech HaMishpat, Zochein HaLachayim, Shir HaMalos in many places. But the one halacha that the Shulchan Aruch quotes is the Chumrah of Pas Akum. Again, it's a topic of a separate shiur, but just on Al Regel Achas, the pashtus is that this is a chumrah, meaning we know maybe in Chorav Zman we'll have different series. So I don't think we did last year. Bishul Akum, Pas Akum, Yain, did we do that last year? Yeah. 2 years ago? So we might do some of those in Chorav Zman. But again, Bishul Akum, items cooked by a guy, that's usur midrabanan to eat. If a guy cooks something for me to start to finish, with different rules about what they cook. But bishul is a halacha. Yayin is a halacha. Pas is a chumrah. Baked goods that you know for sure is kosher, but a guy cooked from start to finish, that, out of all of them, the Rishonim point out is a chumrah, because it was never accepted by Klal Yisrael, it was too hard. You know, they travel, bread is a staple of society. But during Aseres Yimei Tshuva, the Shulchan Aruch quotes that there is a chumrah to be nizer and pas Yisrael. Again, in Eretz Yisrael, it's very easy to be nizer and pas Yisrael, because everything is pas Yisrael. And, you know, unless you import from Chutz La'aretz certain baked items, it's going to be very hard to find pas Yisrael, pas Akum. But anyway, that's one chumrah that's quoted. The Ramah then quotes that a person should be do tshuva, l'chafes, l'fashfes, v'maisav, and even do tshuva for safek averis. Safek averis. A lot of wonders why the Ramah Dafka quotes that. Because safek averis, I don't think I really did an avera. Right? I think I could defend myself. What did I do wrong? If I know I did something wrong, I did something wrong. But the Ramah quotes that we know an Ashem Talui. When do we bring an Ashem Talui? When I'm not sure if I did an avera, that's Machayev Miyachatas, then I bring an Ashem Talui if I am in doubt. The Ashem Talui costs more than the Chatas. Why? To teach us the message that we need stronger tshuva for Safek Averas, because those we could defend ourselves and say, oh, I didn't do it wrong. So the Ramah Dafka says that Aseres Yimei Tshuva is not only for Vaday Averas, but even Safek Averas. It fits in maybe to what we discussed 2 weeks ago about the type of tshuva that's needed. We spoke about Shinui Maisa being not just from Averas, but even changing our whole Mahus, changing our whole essence. We had a thought from the Ritva and Rav Kook about even Dvarim Shel Rishus, even gray area issues. So this Ramah fits into that as well. Okay, Yom Kippur. Tuf Reish Dalin. Seder Erev Yom HaKippurim. The only weekday of the year that there is a mitzvah d'oraisa to eat is Erev Yom Kippur. It's quoted in a few places in the Gemara. Mitzvah le'achol be'erev Yom HaKippurim u'laharbos b'suda. And the Rishonim discuss, is that to help prepare? Or the Meshech Chachma says that all mitzvos have an element of kindness to them. Derecheha darchei Noam. That's why the Meshech Chachma says in Parshas Noach, women are not obligated in Puruvu. It's based on a pasuk, but what's the essence? Women have, what do you mean? They do everything with the child. Why aren't women obligated in the mitzvah? Because Hashem cannot command a painful mitzvah. Inherently, by definition, mitzvahs cannot be painful. And that's why a woman can't be commanded in Puruvu. To counter that, she has a motherly instinct to want to have children even more than the man does. But it can't be that mitzvahs are painful. And that's why, even though we have a mitzvah to fast on Yom Kippur, because that's for our good, it's not to cause us pain, he gives us a mitzvah to eat on Erev Yom Kippur. And you have to eat and eat so that you feel good on Yom Kippur. Right? And that's part of Derech Eretz Achinoam. So you might ask, what about Bris Milah? That's an exception to the rule. We don't know how much pain a child feels. That's becoming a Jew. So that might be an exception. But in any case, that's the mitzvah laharbos, mitzvah to eat on Erev Yom Kippur. There is no bracha. There's no separate bracha on eating on Erev Yom Kippur. No separate berachas ha-mitzvah. It is a mitzvah. There's no berachas ha-mitzvah. Various reasons given. Some mafarshim say anything that does not look like a mitzvah from the outside doesn't get a bracha. Meaning anything that even non-Jews would do. So you eat a lot. That gets a mitzvah. If you're eating cardboard, so to speak, you know, that gets alachilas matzah. Like, what are you doing? You're eating horseradish plain, you know, that gets... But eating, Onik Shabbos also doesn't get a separate berachas mitzvah. Giving tzedakah doesn't get a berachas mitzvah. Kibud av aim doesn't get a berachas mitzvah. One of the approaches of the Rishonim is that anything that doesn't have, that doesn't reflect our unique dusha, but even the non-Jews would do, that doesn't get a separate berachas mitzvah. So eating a lot is not... something that shows our kedusha. Therefore, there's no berachas mitzvah, but it is a mitzvah. Machlokes magen avraham in the gra. Whether it starts the night before, feel free to be machmir if you really want to. It's one of those chumras that doesn't really have any risk factor to it. So feel free. A lot of lumpus there. What about women? Do you have to have bread or anything? The tzaddikim used to walk around with sucking candies all day, so that they get a little bit. But either way, that's the mitzvah of eating on Erev Yom Kippur. Erev Yom Kippur for most. Have the shortest slichas because, you know, we're going to have a whole day of slichas, so it has the shortest, even though Rosh Hashanah has the longest for Ashkenazim. Good. The Ramah also quotes here, we don't say Lam Natzeach, we don't say Mizmor Lasoda on Erev Yom Kippur. Why is that? Because Mizmor Latoda, the Karban Toda, comes with 40 loaves, 30 of them matzah, 10 of them are chametz. But because there's so much to eat, and you're going to have to stop eating, you're not going to have time to finish it. So that's why we don't say Mizmor L'Soda, because we don't want to bring the carbon L'Beis Apsol. We don't want to have so much to eat and so little time to eat it. Just to throw it in, because I always like to quote this story. We don't say Mizmor L'Soda on Pesach either, Chol HaMoed Pesach, because it has chametz in it. I was once in a shul on Chol HaMoed Sukkos, and... The story helps you remember the halacha. Right? Remember the halacha. That the I was going to the shul, and the chazan on Chol HaMoed Sukkos skipped Mizmor L'Soda. So I thought I was crazy. I just missed it. So the next day, this was the same chazan, and I listened carefully, and again he missed it. So I went over to him afterwards. I'm like, is there like a midag not to say Mizmor L'Soda? He says, yeah, it says in the Siddur. I said, where? Show me. He says, Ein Omrim B'Chol HaMoed. I said, read the next word, Pesach. Right? You don't say it on Pesach because it has chametz. There's no reason not to say Mizmor L'Soda on Chol HaMoed Sukkos. But again, we don't say it on Erev Yom Kippur because there's a lot to eat and we don't want to have so much left over. Okay, Tafresh Hey, there is a minhag called Kaparis. The minhag called Kaparis. The Shulchan Aruch is vehemently opposed to it. Yeah? Erev, not Daraisa. All the other fast days don't start at night, and it's Durabanan. Oh, right. And even Tisha B'Av, it's the Durabanan. So you say Mizmor L'Soda on Erev Tisha B'Av, but it's not the Din D'Oraisa. Okay, so there's Minhag of Kaparis, which goes back already to the Gaonim. It's not in the Gemara, but it goes back to the Gaonim, where we try to take an animal, take staka, take whatever it is, and somehow try to reenact what was done Bizmana Karban, when they did Smicha on the Karban, and they said... You know, they did vidui on the carbon, and the carbon is given as a carbon, and I'm free to life. The Ramah, there's Shulchan Aruch quotes that he thinks that this is, terrible. It's a darkei ha'amori, and it shouldn't be done. But the minhag of most, both Ashkenazim and Sfaradim, I think, is to follow the Ramah, that there is this is a minhag that is done. Minhag vasikin, it's called. I've never done a chicken in my life. That's just something I have to confess. We do tzedakah, what can we do? But some people do chicken, some people do fish. Whatever you do, just be gentle. And, make sure it's in a proper setting. I don't know if it's going to be done this year, but in future years, always know that all the poskim talk about it has to be with the proper shochet, and it has to go to the aniyim, the chulu. Okay. Tafresh Vav. Tafresh Vav. Pius. Pius. Rosh Shlomo Zalman once said, I find it so sad. I get so many shilas about fasting. I get so many shilas about, you know, times of davening and sukkah shilas. I get so few shilas about tshuva. Nobody asks me about tshuva. He says, it's just not on people's minds. They have shilas. And Rosh Shlomo Zalman said, it's so sad. It's a whole siman in Shulchan Aruch here, right here in Aruch Chaim. Tafresh Vav, sheyefayis adam chaver, berav Yom Kippurim. Right before Yom Kippur, we have to be mefayis chaveru. The poskim wonder why this, Rav Nevenzal wonders, you know, why this is the midnight before Yom Kippur and not Rosh Hashanah. You would think before Yom Adin, you know, the old yemochel me bit. You know, we all do that before Yom Kippur. Why not before Rosh Hashanah? Okay, that's the minhag. That's the minhag. But again, one has to be careful. Some Mefarshim point out that often we do the Yemochel Mi to the people that we probably don't have to, and we don't do it to the people that we have to. You know, to our parents, to our spouses, to the ones that we're really close to our roommates, you know, we'll just skip it. And like to the people that we hardly know, we pass in the street, you know, Yemochel Mi? You know, it could be Yotze, my request. We have to really think. Often the people that we're closest with are the ones that we have to say it and mean it and ask forgiveness. It doesn't mean that we have to be mefarit, right? The Mishnah Berurah discusses, and the Achronim discuss this. What happens in the case, I might have mentioned this in a shir, what happens if you wrong somebody, they don't know about it. But if you go and tell them what you did, they're not going to be happy. But nothing negative came of it. Do you have to explicate and say exactly what you did when the result is going to be a ruining of the relationship? Or better not to say anything. So that's a machlokas between the Mishnah Berurah and Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, as it's quoted. The Mishnah Berurah says here in O Sivkat and Gimel, Tzorach lefareit mashachata lachavero. Im lo kishe yodea shachavero yizbayish mizek shifareit achir, azay lo yifareit oso. Chavetz Chaim says, if it's going to be worse, don't be mafareit. Just say, you know what, if I did anything wrong to you, make it general. So they quote B'Shem Rabbi Yisrael Salanter that he said you have to specify, but the post can discuss. We can follow the Mishnah Berurah. Okay. There is a minog of, you know, that's but this is all before Yom Kippur. There, one shouldn't be achzari mi limchol, raish mi mochel, even though it's somebody did wrong to you. There is a minog of going to the mikvah. I don't know if the mikvah is going to be open here. Maybe many mikvahs are, because of the corona, many mikvahs are closed, or many are said, you know, better not to. Rabbi Willig Paskin, if you take a four-minute shower, that could also count as a mikvah in this kind of year. And therefore, if one wants to do the kiyum and one feels uncomfortable or it's not possible, even if one has the regular normal minhag to go to the mikvah before Rosh Hashanah, before Yom Kippur, so then one could be yotze that way, or one is ones. Or one is onis. The Rav Sadia Gaon, quoted in the Rosh, even says that the tefillah before Yom Kippur you make a bracha on. The Rosh argues on that. We don't paskin that way, but it just shows you how serious the minhag is of tefillah before Yom Kippur. But again, you know that it is a minhag. It is a minhag, and if one could do it, great, and if not, so then it is okay as well. What else do we do before Yom Kippur? Getting ready for Yom Kippur. Besides eating, besides saying I'm sorry, we also say vidui, tafrei zayin. Before Yom Kippur, we already say vidui. Tzorach lezvados b'mincha kodem surim avsekas. The Gemara says this. Because the Satan really does not want us to get to Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur is an amazing day for us. And, you know, if we get to Yom Kippur, we have kapara. Everything the Satan did the whole year is going to go down the drain. So right before Yom Kippur, he's going to try his best, and Rachmana Litzlan, somebody might choke at the Suda Mavsekes. So we do vidui before the Suda, you know, just to cleanse ourselves even before the final meal. Right, and that's quoted in Shulchan Aruch. Tzorach lezvados b'mincha kodem Suda hamavsekes. We also try to go into Yom Kippur clean also. So even though we did vidui then, and then we eat, but who knows how much Lashon Hara we spoke about at the Suda Mavsekes. And who knows the kavana that we had in benching. So we try to do vidui right before Yom Kippur, and that's called tefillah zaka. Vidui doesn't have to be the al-chetz, but if you try to get to shul before Kol Nidre, a few minutes before Kol Nidre, before whatever, you know, the sicha, whatever it is, it's in the book. It's in the machzor. Tefillah zaka is about 6 or 7 pages long. There is a section there in the art scroll it's put earlier because it says the Chofetz Chaim said most people don't finish Tefillah Zacha because it's like 6 pages long, and by the time you get towards the end, you know, so then the Tzibur's ready to say Kol Nidre, so people skip. But the Chofetz Chaim was very upset because towards the end there's a paragraph that says I'm mochel everybody and nobody should be punished on my account, and the Chofetz Chaim said that's a very important paragraph to say. See, he bumped it up to earlier in the Tefillah Zacha. So if you look, it says, and if you have the Art Scroll Machzor, it says, this section, the Chofetz Chaim says to say earlier, just to make sure that we say it. If you say Hamapil every night with every Bona Shel Olam, then you also say it every night. The Gemara says, we should try not to daven that people should be punished because what they did for us. If somebody did something for me, Hashem will take care of him. I don't have to daven for that. Hashem will recognize, you know, what has to be done. But that's what we say every night. Nobody should be punished because of me. If somebody needs to be punished because they have their own Bechir Chafshis, then fine. But again, once you try to get, early enough to say Tefillah Zakah, you can say it in English also. You can say it in English if you want to, it's not hard Hebrew, but again, if you want to just understand it more, that's fine as well. Okay, Vidui is a part of the mitzvah saseh d'oraisa of tshuva, or the mitzvah is Vidui. So as we do it on Yom Kippur, it's a kiyum of that. It's also a kiyum I mentioned today in Shir. Rabbeinu Yonah holds it's a separate mitzvah to do tshuva on Yom Kippur. So the vidui of Yom Kippur is not only tshuva the whole year, but it's a part of the mitzvah of tshuva dafka on Yom Kippur. Vidui should be said standing. Vidui should be said standing, which means not leaning. What does that mean, not leaning? So the way the halacha generally interprets is what's called leaning. If the shtender is taken away, would you still be able to stand? Then that's still called standing. So even if you're leaning a little bit on the shtender or on a sefer because you're holding the machzor, it's okay, that's still called standing, but one should be in a bent over position standing. It doesn't mean you have to kill your back by the end of Yom Kippur, you know, that you have to be so bent over that you're going to be in pain. And it doesn't mean that you have to strike your heart so hard that it hurts. That's not the... There's no malchus b'zmanazeh, especially self-inflicted. We should just try to, you know, it's all symbolic. We should be bent over a little bit and do what we can. There is a minhag quoted. Where is it? Here. It's quoted in the Ramah and Sivvav. I saw this a few times in my life. I grew up in Far Rockaway, which is in Long Island, in a shtiebel there. And the Rebbe, the shtiebel, the Silitzer Rebbe, Shmuel Shmelka Rubin, Zechrono Levracha. So he, on Erev Yom Kippur, I remember this as a child, he used to get malchus. You mean malchus? The Ramah talks about symbolic malchus. He used to go down on his hands and knees. I remember this. He's like the Rebbe. And the Gaba used to take a belt, fold it up, and just like touch. Like 39 times. That's what the Ramah quotes. Binagu kalakal lokim malchus arbo machas filas mincha. Binagu shanilka omer viduyin. Bamalka omer behurachim yichaber avon shloshe pamim. I didn't know this Ramah at the time. I just thought it was like, whoa, what's going on? And then I got older. I'd see the Ramah. I'm like, wow, that's what he did. That's what he did. Anyway, but that's not a minhag that we should do. If it's not our minhag, if you're not the Rebbe, then you, not one doesn't have to, but one shouldn't. One shouldn't do a minhag that's metama ala brios unless it is your family mesorah. Unless it's your family mesorah. Either way, when is vidui said? The Mishnah Berurah says, this is important, the Mishnah Berurah says, in Sifkat and Yud, again, you should be bent over, you shouldn't lean on anything. Mishnah Berurah quotes in Sifkat and Tezayin that before you start vidui at the end of Shmoneh Esrei, you should say Yil Ratzon Imrei Fi. Right, that is what, because we already finished, let's say, we said El Kain and Tsar, Yil Ratzon, and then you have the whole vidui. The Vilna Gaon argues on that. He says, no, you want the vidui as part of your Amida. Yil Ratzon is kind of breaks it. But the Minhag of Klal Yisrael is like the Mishnah Berurah here, like the earlier poskim, that one should say Yil Ratzon and then get into the vidui. Okay. Good. So now we get into some of the... Halakas Neiros is a separate minhag. Again, it's a minhag of lighting candles on Yom Kippur. Some of the minhag too, some of the minhag not too. We're sure to talk about where this minhag comes from. But why is this important to remember? The Halakas Neiros is one of the 4 or 7 brachas that you only say once a year. Right? In Eretz Yisrael, there are 7 brachas you say once a year. In Chutz La'aretz, there are 4 brachas you say once a year. This one I've never said. L'hadlik ner shel Yom HaKippurim. Right, that one I've never said, but the women say it before they light candles. Right, that's one of the 4. What are the other brachas you say once a year? Nachem on Tisha B'Av. It's a good trivia question. If you ever have to like say the Dvar Torah at a Shabbos table and you don't have anything, just say, you know, what are the 4 brachas you say once a year? Nachem, Biur Chametz, and Birchas Ha'ilanos. Birchas Ha'ilanos on the new blossoms. Those are the four that all over, and then there are three more in Eretz Yisrael because you only have one Seder. So you have three at the Seder. Alachilas Matzah, Alachilas Mara, and Asher Ga'alanu. Okay, but that's the minhag of a candle. There's a minhag there are my quotes of wearing a kittel or wearing white. Wearing white. Many women wear white also on Yom Kippur, symbolizes purity. A Begad Malchus also. Good. Tafresh Yud Aleph. The night and the morning of Yom Kippur have the same halachas regarding all the inuyim. Here we go. So the five inuyim of Yom Kippur. Achila and Shasiya, those are for sure daraisa, eating and drinking. That's for sure an Issa daraisa and Isser Karis. The other four inuyim is a machlokas rishonim. Whether they're daraisa without Karis, that's Bali Tosfos, Rabbeinu Tam, or they're daraisa, what did I just say? Whether the Rambam holds their daraisa without Karis, I'm sorry I mixed it up, the Rambam, Rabbeinu Tam says they're all Darabanan, all the other inuyim. They're still serious. But there's flexibility by some of the other inuyim, that's why Bali Tosfos, the beginning of the last parak in Yuma say it's Darabanan, but the Rambam says it's daraisa without Karis, but everything starts at night. Not only at night, but even Tosefes. We add on a couple of minutes for Tosefes Yom HaKippurim as well. So, eating. Tough ratio at base. The issue of eating on Yom Kippur. The shear is a different type of shear than other Isurim of the year, being that it doesn't say anywhere in the Torah that you're not allowed to eat on Yom Kippur. It doesn't say that. It says, you must afflict yourself. Ta'anuas nafsho sechem. And Chazal understood, therefore, that there is a larger shear on Yom Kippur for eating. You're not allowed to eat any amount. That's chatzi shear is also min haTorah. Right? Even if, I'm going to eat pachos, whatever. No, you can't do that either. That's also an isadaraisa we paskin. But the shear for eating on Yom Kippur, to be liable, is a larger shear, the size of a date, not the size of an olive, koseves and not a kizayis, because we assume, as long as you didn't eat the size of a date, you're still in a state of affliction. You're still in a state of inui. And that's why, that's a very important halacha. Why? Because if somebody has to eat on Yom Kippur, the first thing we say is try to eat bishi'urim, which means eat less than the amount that's usser, the full isser. Again, everything is usser chatzishir. But if somebody has to eat on Yom Kippur, and this year, Rahman Litzlan, there'll be more than usual, because the poskim generally said if somebody has corona, any symptoms, then they have to eat. Somebody has sveikos, whatever, but there's more. But we generally try to say, eat pachos, pachos, be kashir. What's pachos? Less than a koseves in the amount of time that's called one eating. That means a shot glass every 10 minutes. A shot glass of food every 10 minutes, that's generally the shear that's given for somebody to eat on Yom Kippur and still be called afflicting yourself. Eating and drinking also are not mitztarif. So if one needs to eat and drink, they could have a shot glass of food and a shot glass of drink together every 9 minutes, every 10 minutes. And that's still called in a state of inui, but that's the general shear. There's a question in the postgame. What happens? Is it better to fast the half a day and then have to break my fast and eat a lot? Or is it better to start off eating pachos, pachos, mikashir? So the postgame generally assume the latter. If you know you're probably going to have to break your fast, it's better to start with shiurim and then in that way be able to go the whole Yom Kippur. Let's say women have this question a lot. Let's say a pregnant woman or lachatchila, pregnant nursing woman, we try to have them fast. If I go to shul, it's really hot, then I'm probably going to have to break my fast and stay home. It's more important to stay home than to dive with the minyan. If a man knows, if I go to shul, I'm going to have to break my fast because it's a long walk to the shul, stay home. Right? Eating and fasting is a daraisa. Davening with a minyan is very important, but it's on the same level. So we try to do what we can to try to help people fast. Is one allowed to take pills before Yom Kippur to make the fast easier? So that's a discussion in the post. Many say, yeah, why not? Meaning, you're not supposed, like the Meshech Chachma said before, we have to fast to be like angels, but it's not meant to make us uncomfortable. It does, because we're human. But Me'ikar Adin, that wouldn't be a problem. Okay, that's in terms of eating and drinking. Again, if somebody has to, break their fast, so then one breaks their fast, we paskin that there's no kiddush. If you have to break your fast, if it falls out on Shabbos, that's a machlokas. But we paskin no kiddush. And if somebody eats bread, then you bench with the aleviyavo. It's Yom HaKippurim, I said. Right, one would do it. It sounds strange, but it's in some benchers. In some benchers, we should never need it. We should never be in a state of Chol HaSheish Bo Sakana. Food is not muksa. Food is not muksa on Yom Kippur. The Ramah says at the end of Tafresh Yud Beis, Mutter Liga B'Yom Kippur Ba'ochlin U'mashkin V'litein Liktanim. There it is. Why isn't it muksa? Because kids could have it. It's not like chametz. Lo B'dili Mine. That's one of the some of the Mefarshim say. The difference between Yom Kippur and Pesach. Why isn't there an Isser Bal Yorbay Matzeh by Yom Kippur put out of your house? No, because Yom Kippur, nobody's touching, nobody's eating. Right, no but male. It's different. It's only one day. There are different svaris given. But either way, it's not muksa, because you can give it to a child. That's what the Mishnah Berurah says. Why? Pesach ochel shar dvarim. On Pesach, you're eating other things. Or where are you going to eat this too? Yom Kippur, you're just badil. You're totally away from food. Number two, emas yom adin alav. It's Yom Kippur. It's Yom Kippur. We trust that on Yom Kippur, you can have the emas adin. That's the Mishnah Berurah at the end of Taf Resh Yud Beis. Obviously, a cholep, he needs to take a pill. He can take pills. If you can take a pill without water, then that's 100% fine. 100% fine. If somebody needs to take a pill of... for some other reason with a drop of water, so the poskim say make it bitter, put some salt in the water. Let's say somebody needs can't sleep without a sleeping pill. I heard of Rosh Hashanah say this. So he has gives these not this year, but other years he gives things for doctors before about all the poskims. He says sleeping pills, Ritalin. Somebody needs Ritalin to function on Yom Kippur. Any type of anti-anxiety, anti-sleep, any of those. If it's a pill, just a swallow pill, just take it with a little bit of bitter water, and it is mutter. It is mutter. Yeah. Beforehand, no, because that's actually before. The point is not to. It's still called drinking on Yontif today. If you're going to drink, so you want to make it bitter, so it's not really roy. Beforehand, you don't have to do things to make yourself uncomfortable. You can do things that you're comfortable with. Yeah. So afflicts, that's called affliction if you're having achi water. No, but that's the purpose of it is not, you're in a state of inui halachically by not eating and doing what the Chachamim said. You don't have to do more than that. Okay, that's eating and drinking, b'chulu. Washing, rechitza. So there's an issur rechitza on Yom Kippur, cold water, hot water, afilu lahoshi that's bo b'mayim, so even to stick your finger in water. But only rechitza shel tainug is aser. What's called pleasurable washing. Anything that's not pleasurable washing is mutter. So if your hands get dirty, if you go to the bathroom and your hands get dirty, you could wash your hands normally with soap and water. Kohanim, before they duchen, could wash up to the wrist because that is not a rechitza shel tainug. That's a rechitza for the mitzvah. The Rambam, who's very Harif in terms of having to wash your hands before davening, says you can wash your hands before davening up to the wrist. So you can't hold like the Rambam just on Yom Kippur. Right? If somebody's very machpit to always wash their hands before Yom Kippur, before davening, okay. But otherwise, one shouldn't rely. But again, if your hands get dirty, especially in our day and age, if you want to wash your hands for corona purposes, that's also fine. You want to alcohol gel 6 times because you're a little nervous, you can't do it extra on Yom Kippur. But again, you could do it whatever you normally do for health purposes. That's mutter because that's not called rechitza shel tainug. That's not for enjoyment. That's, you know, for, I remember in camp, one of the years in camp, we had a special needs camper that dirtied himself on Yom Kippur. On Yom Kippur. See, put him in the shower on Yom Kippur. You know, even if he's mechuyev, he wasn't somebody who did not know. But, you know, that's not rechitza shel tainug. That's rechitza shel cleaning. And therefore, that would be okay. It would be mutter. There was a hand up. Yeah. Yeah. If you don't have to take it exactly on the dot, you know, in a camp, whatever it is, I don't know, growth hormone, right? Or what? If it's a tasteless pill that you swallow, you can take it on Yom Kippur. That's not called eating. It's not called eating. Yeah. Just in the morning. That is up to where the fingers meet the hand. That's up to knuckles. Right, it's not, but there are different three reasons we wash our hands in the morning. It's not taino, but it's a shame. But the post can say that's all you need to do. It's all you need to do. And therefore, if it's a by Birchas Kohanim, you know, the you have to have a full hand clean in order to do the mitzvah. But in the morning, you know, Ruach Ra is removed even with just up to the knuckles. So therefore, that would be all. So again, Rechitza Shel Tainug is the only thing that is Aser. Sicha, yeah. They have to eat bread, so they wash. Yeah, they wash. They would wash if they have to eat. Sicha, anointing, smearing. So that is asur on Yom Kippur, even Eina Shel Tainug. Even Eina Shel Tainug. Maybe because inherently Sicha is Tainug, so that's why generally no deodorant on Yom Kippur. Not even scentless. Right? On Tisha B'Av, if it doesn't have a scent, it's okay. But on Yom Kippur, even scentless deodorant is not, and therefore one should stay away from any type of sicha, of smearing anything on one's body. That's Tafresh Yud Dalet. Tafresh Yud Dalet is also about shoes, Nilas HaSandal. So we generally assume, like Rov Rishonim, Nilas HaSandal means leather shoes, period. Even if your most comfortable shoes are not leather, and that's what you plan to wear on Yom Kippur, it's okay. It's okay. Even if you love wearing Crocs, it's okay. You can wear that on Yom Kippur. There's a day in the Rishon and the Balamar that maybe has to do with comfort. And some Bali Musar say put some rocks in them. You don't have to do that. Just wear the Crocs. It's fine. It's not the din of sandal. If we have time at the end, I'll tell you a great word on sandal, on Nilas HaSandal. But if not, we'll have to save it for another time. But that, if somebody doesn't have leather shoes, doesn't have non-leather shoes, I don't think that should be a problem here. But you're allowed to put it on just to walk somewhere. But generally, that's the Isser of Ne'ilas HaSandal. Tafresh Tesvav, Tashra Shamita, husband and wife have to behave like she's a Nida on Yom Kippur. So learn all those halachas before you get married, but that's the halacha of Yom Kippur, even Negiyah's Aser. Good. Tafresh Tezayin, but when children start to have to fast, not so lemaisa here, pregnant and nursing, Chola. Chola, Tafresh Yud Ches, that's a huge topic. But again, a Chola Sheish Bo Sakana, obviously, can eat on Yom Kippur. Even a Chola She Ein Bo Sakana, there is flexibility in terms of if they don't take care of themselves, they can become a Chola Sheish Bo Sakana. So then there is flexibility. But either way, Rachman Al Tzlan, all these are questions that need to be asked if one Rachman Al Tzlan needs. But Tafresh Yud Ches talks about Tefillah. The Tefillah of Yom Kippur, let's talk about that a little bit and further. So we say, Kol Nidre. Many drushes have been given. Why dafka do we speak about Nidarim going into Yom Kippur? Why is that so exciting? Kol Nidre, Matir Nidarim, or Matir Nidarim Erev Rosh Hashanah, or Kol Nidre on Yom Kippur. So a lot of arts are said about that. We want Hashem to be Matir His Neder, punishing us for Mida Keneged Mida. A lot of arts, but either way, then we say Shechianu. The only time we say Shechianu in the middle of nowhere. Right? We're not saying it by a mitzvah, we're not saying it by Kiddush. We say it. The Gemara in Erevin Daf Mem says, what are you supposed to do? Right, next week's Daf Yomi, right? You say it in the shul. That's what we say Shachianu in shul. We try to hurry before the chazans. Then we could even say Amen to his bracha. And the Rama says importantly, Val Yishana Adam Minagair Afilu Binigunim O Bepiyutim Shaomrim Sham. The Rama says that the chazan should do what the tzibur is used to. The chazan should do things. He's the shliach of the tzibur, and therefore he should daven in a way that is Merutze Lakal. That's the purpose, and one shouldn't change Menhagim quickly. The night of Yom Kippur, the Shulchan Aruch says, we scream out Baruch Shem Kavod, like spoke on Shabbos, but call Ram. It's quoted in the Shulchan Aruch, that Minhag, of screaming out Baruch Shem. Good. Tzorach Lahamed Achle Minchli, of Sir Vech Lismol, a Minhag of having three people at the Bima, but again, that's a Minhag, so it's not going to happen in most shuls this year, because, you know, we try to keep our distance. That's at night. Again, the piyutim. What is there to do Yom Kippur night? You could learn whatever you want. You learn about Yom Kippur. Go through the Rambam of Avodas Yom Kippurim. Could help appreciate the Avoda more that you're going to learn about the following day. But that's Kol Nidre. Again, the only day we have five Philos. Meir of Shachris, Musaf, Mincha, Ni'ila. The Kohanim, Duchin, three times. Not four. That's the Minhag. It's based on the Gemara. But Shachris, Musaf, Ne'ila. Most places. Ne'ila, you're not allowed to duchen at night. So the question is, how late is your Ne'ila? Right? That's the question. So many shuls, in this country, you know, have like, it's like, you want to get Birchas Kohanim in, but you can't blow shofar for like 25 minutes after, 20 minutes, whatever, after. So you're like stuck. So Shlomo Zalman, Baruch Hashem, in our shul, I know what other people do. Shlomo Zalman says you could duchen up until 12 and a half minutes, I think is what it is, 13 minutes after Shkia. So we generally get there by like a minute. Shlomo Zalman says up until 13 minutes after Shkia, you can duchen, and you can blow shofar 21 minutes after Shkia. So you only got a couple of minutes. You have to drag out Avinu Malkeinu a little bit. That's okay. But either way, that's duchening is happens a number of times in the tefillah. We don't say Aleinu all day, right? Because Aleinu, I think we mentioned, is the, or Salvecha called, it's the heter to leave shul. And technically, we're in shul all day. Even if you have a break, you know, that's not technically allowance. It's technically, halachically, we're in shul all day. Therefore, Aleinu is only said at the end by Ma'ariv. We don't say Aleinu after Musaf, after Mincha, or after Ni'ila. Okay, what else could we talk about? The Mishnah Berurah has an important lashon that many a rabbi quotes during his Ni'ila drasha. The Mishnah Berurah quotes in Tafresh Chav Gimel, V'yizdariz ma'od b'tfila zu, push it, ki tachlis kol aseres yimei tshuva hu yom kippur, v'tachlis yom kippur hu ni'ila, shakol holech achar achisum. This is it, says the Mishnah Berurah, v'im lo achshav eimasai, v'lachin afim chalash machpas atayin is, even if you're weak, yezer kegiber chalasov, push yourself. So again, Mishnah Berurah says we have to push ourselves for Ni'ila during all the tefillos. But again, you know, one should try to, if one can, for Rosh Hashanah too, take out the machzor before Rosh Hashanah, just to go over it so you know what's coming. You could prepare. You can know what the structure is. It's not just like haphazard. Oh, Chol Aminim. Yes, I like that one. Right? And then you keep going. Oh, what's this? A long pack. You know, it's like Sar Harugei Malchus and the Avoda. Just, that's on Yom Kippur. But again, it's good to just go everything. Before Purim, I'll tell you, you know, read through the Megillah before Purim. Just whatever we prepare for beforehand could really change the experience. So now, I know, start, you have a couple days till Rosh Hashanah. Take it out. Go through the machzor. Just go through the machzor to know what's going on. Try to maybe even put some notes in there of things, like if you read a note on the bottom, just something that could help prepare for Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. And we should all be zochet to be mekayim, you know, fulfill all the inuyim properly, to fulfill the mitzvah of eating properly. The Malbim said that it's harder to eat on Erev Yom Kippur Lishma than to fast on Yom Kippur Lishma. So it's true. Like, why else are you going to fast and not wear leather shoes? But eating, so let's try that a week from Sunday to be able to eat lishma on that Erev Yom Kippur. And we should be zocha to a ksiva v'chsima tova. Okay, we'll stop here. If your hands are dirty.